Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick. Arizona State transfer quarterback Sam Leavitt had his first interview since moving to Baton Rouge yesterday. Leavitt said one of the reasons he chose to come to LSU was to improve as a quarterback. He says he gets to play against great players in practice and is coached by great offensive minds like Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr.
I think they really see my passion for the game and I see theirs. I'd say this staff is probably the hardest working staff I've been around, and it's a blessing for me to be held accountable in that way. And just constantly grind. Like, I just keep saying, we've been grinding, because that's really what it's been.
He also confirmed he has been fully healthy for months now and is not bothered at all by a foot injury that ended his final year at Arizona State early. The Saints announced quarterback Drew Brees will be inducted into the Ring of Honor at halftime of their home matchup with the Vikings on October 11th. Brees was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this weekend, and he will become the eighth Saints player in the Ring of Honor alongside late owner Tom Benson. The Vikings just named free agent quarterback Kyler Murray as their starter this season. LRN.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore said the team is still evaluating the severity of veteran defensive end Cameron Jordan's hamstring injury, but he will miss some time. Moore did not confirm how long that would be, but said Jordan may not make it back in time for the Saints' season opener in Detroit September 13th. The LSU women's basketball team announced its schedule for the season. The Lady Tigers tip off the year November 2nd, hosting Southeastern Louisiana. Their first seven games are at home before they head to the Fort Myers tip-off Thanksgiving Hoops tournament against Villanova and NC State. LSU visits UNC December 2nd in the ACC-SEC Challenge and begins conference play at Auburn December 31st. The Lady Tigers play Auburn twice and every other conference opponent once in the regular season and close out the year at home against Oklahoma February 28th. Former Saints quarterback Derek Carr is joining the UCLA coaching staff as a special advisor to first-year head coach Derek Chesney. Carr retired before the beginning of training camp last year, and he will assist in offensive game planning and coaching the Bruins quarterbacks in a volunteer role this season. Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council, Boudreaux's Electrical Services, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Case Kieschnick and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
Hour two of Tiger Rag Radio is upon us. Coming up later on in the hour, Reed Darcy of The Advocate will talk some LSU football with him. He did a great article on Kayshawn Booty, who has overcome his illness with gambling. And we'll talk with Reed about that. And we'll probably throw in a women's basketball question in there as well, as the Lady Tigers schedule for 2026-27 has come out. We bring in, though, first Sam Hutchins from the Clarion Ledger. We had Sam on, I guess it was about a month ago. Time flies when you're having fun. And that happened to be the same day. We didn't know it when we lined him up, but it happened to be the same day when Ole Miss filed suit against Prince Will Umanmielen and Devin Harper over the failure in Ole Miss's mind of paying a buyout for a revenue sharing agreement that those two had signed before entering the transfer portal and signing with LSU. So we bring in Sam to get an update on the case, because we really haven't heard much here in Louisiana. Lane Kiffin was asked about it on Monday, said, hey, that sounds like a legal question or a question about litigation. I'm not going to get into that, which completely understandable from Lane's point of view, but the question needed to be asked, and we basically got what we anticipated as far as the answer. But maybe Sam's got some more answers for us. Sam, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me back on. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy to inform that I was able to call up some folks a lot smarter than me with a lot more law degrees than me, because any number more than zero would fit that criteria. But yeah, I think I can help, you know, explain some things or at least try to work through this together with you guys.
Well, what are some of the things that you have learned since, obviously, when that happened, it made national news and everybody had some thoughts on it, but it also is, you know, one of the points that I've made, Sam, is that you don't, it doesn't happen on a daily basis or even on an annual basis, maybe, where a university is suing college athletes. It just doesn't happen. So what have you learned since these lawsuits have been filed? And again, these lawsuits are against or targeted or the defendants in these cases are Princewell, Uman Mielen, and Devin Harper, not LSU. But Sam, what could you tell us as far as what you've learned since then?
That's right. Good distinction that, school against players, not school against school here is how the lawsuits filed. But yeah, guys, what I can tell you is that it's not as black and white, cut and dried, as we first thought. Now there is the ultimate matter of, hey, party A owes party B money. But what I've learned, and it's not exactly secret knowledge, but buyout contracts in America cannot be punitive, and you know they cannot be punishing. And so what that means is that the intent of a buyout contract is to compensate, you know, party A for lost services, right? To compensate the party that was breached. But what it can't do is overcompensate. So it's illegal to like get a windfall because your contract was breached. You can only get the monetary value that equates to that service. So what does it mean? Well, Uman Mielen and Harper, they can argue something, which is that, hey, we're not worth, you know, collectively, it's about $1 million. Uman Mielen can argue, hey, I'm not worth $550,000 for my services next year. And Harper can try to argue, hey, I'm not worth $400,000. And that's what has to be litigated.
Well, the question is, will this ever end up in a courtroom, or if there have been active negotiations to try to settle this, especially before the start of the college football season, and in particular before September 19th rolls around?
Right. So probably not. I think that most people are of the opinion that, you know, just because the vast majority of civil lawsuits where money is at stake wind up in a settlement because that's cheaper than winding its way all throughout the process, which I'm told, you know, if this thing were to go fully litigation, then it would be, a matter of months or, you know, maybe a year or something. So I'm not expecting any resolution in court, certainly before September 19th, unless these parties come together and they're like, hey, you know, now that the lawsuit's out, let's just get this settled.
Have there been any filings at all in response to the lawsuit by Princewell, Uman Mielen, or Devin Harper's attorneys?
Nothing since. I checked today, and nothing since in either of those contracts. I did ask. It's amazing who you can call up with a law degree, and they'll answer. I called some people up, and yeah, one guy, he's like, I read his bio, he's was a Rhodes Scholar who went to study law in Oxford, and hit him with the email, hey, I see we both spent time in Oxford, you know, and he said he liked my joke. So that's where we were at. But yeah, so I did ask, you know, my sources, like, hey, what could be next in filing? And, Ole Miss could present the actual contracts, would presumably be the next thing that could come in. And here's the deal with that. The tough part, ultimately, where this whole thing comes down to is, like, how do you assign the value of a football player,
yeah,
right? What
right.
is a $550,000 football player versus a $400,000 football player? And, you know, if Devin Harper were to get hurt, how much could you assign a value to that as far as next year? So the easiest way to do that in a court of law would be to go with what they were about to get paid, right? Because those are two parties that kind of set a market value. So that's one way you could do it. But Ole Miss, you know, their lawyers could argue, hey, the actual value is what anyone in the country could have afforded or could have wanted to pay these players. And so it is murkiness on top of murkiness. It's you know, nothing is super clear in this whole thing. But there, you know, it's at least not a total black and white case of, oh, yep, fork over the money.
Yeah. Sam Hutchins from the Clarion Ledger here with us once again on Tiger Rag Radio. Is LSU culpable at all?
So technically no, right? Because the revenue sharing agreements were signed between Ole Miss, party one, and, you know, player one, Prince Will, and player two, Devin Harper, right? Where that starts to get, you know, a little murky is it's like, well, if you're LSU, you know, you, as is generally standard in college football, you kind of say that, hey, we'll, you know, pay the buyout and massage that, because generally the assumption is the player wouldn't, you know, just transfer in and have to drop $400,000 that they may or may not have already spent. We don't know if LSU did that, though. And the reason that LSU wisely isn't just handing over the money, you know, happily wrapped in a basket is because it comes out of the salary cap.
Yeah, right.
And so that's the matter of, I mean, if you can get those two players to pay it, then it wouldn't be salary cap money, which would be great for the Tigers because it is – I don't have the figure in my head, but it's a significant percent, you know, of the salary cap is $1 million. It's like 1/20th or something.
Right.
So that's significant to where if you're LSU, you definitely want to avoid paying that, you know, if you're not liable, but then it becomes a matter of, are you willing to not pay that and maybe sour future transfers, future recruits? From, hey, like, you know, LSU didn't have the backs of these two players, and it becomes, you know, how do you want to play this? And it starts to get, again, murky.
So, Sam, one quick question for you. Is there any record or any proof that either player received any payment from Ole Miss towards that original contract that they had signed that they would maybe have to recompensate Ole Miss for? Since they didn't fulfill the contract?
So they're allowed to keep all the money that they signed for under, you know, the 2025 year, because both those players played that entire year out. Where this is concerned is both of these players signed new revenue share deals re-upping for the 2026 season.
But
so the only money that...
But did they collect any of that new money is what I'm asking.
Oh, you know, I haven't. I guess that would be something that comes out in the court documents as well. But I mean, there's no proof of that. Ole Miss kind of put out in their timeline that LSU has not responded to in any give and take. But I imagine that because that aspect is black and white of, hey, this was deposited into this account, then, you know, it probably was, but I don't have any firsthand proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Sam, you mentioned, I think you've used the word murky a few times, and I think that is a very good word. And you've talked to some legal experts on this. And granted, contracts get signed every day across America, all kinds of different contracts. But because this is a new realm that we're in, and this is basically we're a year and a half, I guess, or maybe 2 years now. Or yeah, a year plus, right? In revenue share in the revenue share
this
world.
This is the second full season.
Yeah, so this is we're 13 months into this thing.
Right.
Because this is so brand new, is it even hard for legal scholars to say, boy, this one is going to be tough because there's just not a lot of precedent for these type of situations.
There's no precedent in Mississippi for this kind of thing. So you're absolutely right, and that's probably the clearest answer that I got from everyone is, hey, you know, it's hard because this will be the case that sets precedent. So they said that, you know, schools in other states and certainly everyone in Mississippi, because the case is in Lafayette County here in Oxford, that's where it'll be litigated. But yeah, that's what everyone told me is there's no precedent for this. So it becomes hard to come out with any sort of clarity about what should or could or probably will happen. But I do have a guess what will ultimately happen, guys, and it's not very dramatic.
Okay, but before you give us that, let me ask this one question. Is Trinidad Chambliss's judge going to be one of the judges that is in Lafayette County settling this?
Good question. That Judge Whitwell is not presiding over either of these cases. So that's a good question. No, he's not.
Okay, so what? How do you think this is going to shake out?
I think this will shake out not anywhere nearly as dramatic as a Judge Whitwell, you know, hour-long reading of his decision in a courtroom with cameras and all that. Everyone just kind of says that, hey, this is probably going to settle. And the amount is you know, certainly probably going to be more than zero, right? But it could be less than the $1 million if those players are able to argue that number down.
Yeah.
So... the thing that I'm most curious about is who winds up paying, right? Because do those players wind up paying, or does LSU wind up paying and, you know, take the dent in the salary cap? And that's where the other tricky thing is LSU's, you know, $22 million or whatever the salary cap is that already spent? You know, so that's the other thing. If you're LSU, you may not have the option. And, you know, it gets really fishy if, you know, Prince William Mommy Ellen bought a nice house and taking care of some people and maybe Devin Harper. You know, so where is the money is the other thing that gets troublesome. But in cases where only monetary damages are at stake, those have the lowest priority, because this is a deal where, you know, you can award money months, years into the future, and it equates, right? That's why this Trinidad Chambliss case, to contrast it, got expedited, is because it was a matter, you know, a time-sensitive matter. Hey, this season's coming up. So that's what I've also learned, is that monetary, you know, cases determining monetary damages have the kind of the lowest priority of moving through the court system.
And that's why this might not actually get settled until 2027.
Sure. And then it's a matter, there might not even be a rule for this in the College Sports Commission with the salary cap and all that. But, you know, would it come out of next year's salary cap or this year? I mean, it's like we're on the cutting edge and making, you know, things up as we go, which is, you know, a weird place to be.
Well, that's college football for you in today's day and age. So, hey, Sam, thanks a lot, man. Good information. We appreciate it.
I'm just trying to keep up with Reed and Brett. You guys have a great lineup on, so yeah, happy to hop on.
All right, man. Next time we get you on, we'll actually talk about the game, okay? We'll get you on for sure.
Let's do it. That's all anyone wants to talk about down here.
Yeah. All right, Sam. Have a good one, man. Stay cool out there. It's blazing hot. Sam Hutchins from Clarion Ledger. Let's take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's electrical services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins' products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines. Everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless, LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-770-5322. BCI Bath & Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-770-5322. Call BCI Bath & Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-770-5322. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-770-5322. That's 800-770-5322.
We're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Lerma along with Todd Horn, joined now by a sweaty Tiger Rag editor, Glenn Gilbo. How you doing tonight, Glenn?
I'm not sweating at all, man.
Cool as a cucumber, huh?
It feels great. The sun has made my skin feel so good.
Like olive
oil? Are you looking at the trees right now, Glenn? Are you looking at the trees on the LSU campus?
Trees just, you know, give me that shade.
Is LSU... Is LSU,
that's really all I can tell you.
Is LSU football practice fake or real?
Oh, it was real. It was real. I just can't tell you anything about it because, you know, that's one of the new things this year. As you're walking out of practice, they tell you, okay, you can't write anything until this time. And tonight it was 8:45.
8:45?
This kind of stuff has started in the NFL, and now it has trickled down to college football.
So
it's That's when that practice ends, so you can't write about it until the practice ends.
Well, if I'm listening to Tiger Rag Radio right now, is there going to be a reason that I want to go to TigerRag.com at about 8:45-ish or 9 o'clock-ish to see what happened at practice, or was it fake?
Uh-oh. I think we lost Glenn. Lane Kiffin's, he got intercepted. Some drone took him out, something like that, because they were concerned he was going to provide some sort of insight on what happened during a bunch of wide receivers running a slant drill. So
against air.
So, anyways, I don't know. Case, can you see? Is he still there? You think or no? He's gone. Yeah, I think
I guess
gone.
He just didn't like my question.
No,
think that's what it was.
The humidity got him. So
the olive skin felt like olive.
Hey, Case, let's hear a cut from Ty Benefield. How about that? That guy was a pretty intriguing young man. Let's hear a little bit from him from yesterday.
All right, this is Ty, just kind of on what he's going to do in the Blake Baker defense. you could just see me doing everything. That's the beauty of Coach Baker trusting his players and seeing the potential that they have and the athletic ability they have. That's what makes him such a great coach, is that he knows guys very well and he knows what they can do. The thing that gets me really going is just making plays for my team, whether it be a tackle, whether it be setting an edge, little things like that. But for sure, that ball, I want that ball. I want to go pick that ball off, you know, any chance that I get, and I will. You know, when that time comes, I'm putting in a lot of work to do that, and you guys will see that.
What a confident young man. What a well-spoken young man. Has lived quite a life. His dad played in the CFL for, what, about a dozen years? Mm-hmm. Had a cup of coffee with the San Francisco 49ers. Another West Coast kid, but also spent probably a lot of time up in Canada. Spent time in Boise, and now here he is in Louisiana. What did he say about Louisiana, Case? Do you got anything on that? Oh, wait.
Growing up in Canada, I see a lot of ties. There's a lot of French Canadians, and kind of understanding like the French in New Orleans and Louisiana is pretty cool. But I mean, also being in California, kind of getting used to that black culture and having that, you know, this world, this big black culture world out here is just great. But, you know, honestly, just the hospitality and the people here, like it's amazing. And I'm so glad I have these great people around me. Like the fans are unbelievable. I've never been defended in a comment section before on TikTok, and like that was the first time. So I was just like, great, like this is awesome. I love these people. So everything's been really good, and it's been a blessing. So I'm right where I need to be, and I love it.
Good stuff from Ty Benefield.
Yeah, and he really is eloquent. Sounding, yeah, you know? Yeah. That's amazing that
Boise State education must be pretty darn good.
Well, and he's well-traveled.
Yeah, he is well-traveled.
A lot of culture, California, yeah. Canada, yeah. You know, Idaho.
Yeah. All right, I think we got Glenn back on. Glenn, you back with us?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah,
hello.
We're here. Yeah, it looks like the signals there near Tiger Stadium figured out you were about ready to spill the beans about practice. They cut you off. We only got about a minute, though, left in this segment, Glenn. So give me your quick take here before we have to go to Reed Darcy, just on LSU football in general.
Well, I like how they're trying young people on defense. You know, Lamar Brown's been in there a lot. Richard Anderson, Jace Thomas, you know, Dominic McKinley has not been playing. I mean, I spoke about that early. And I think what Lane's doing is, you know, if a young guy is not, if an older guy is only a little bit better than a young guy, they're going to play.
All right. Well, looks like they got to improve that cell reception before September 5th comes around.
Yeah, that was really choppy, really choppy. I think they were. Did you see the drone fly by whenever you were talking?
Hey, man, this coaching staff's on top of everything, man. Yeah. It's like, geez, they need to be over there in Iran, like scoping out drones and stuff. Like,
well,
that.
I would encourage everybody to go to TigerRag.com around 9 o'clock and see the practice report whenever we're able.
And be
to
prepared for the flood of videos in your social media channels come 8:45, I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. When we take, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, Reed Darcy from The Advocate, we'll talk with him. Good piece on Kayshawn Booty, and we'll talk a little women's hoops with him as well. So stay tuned for all that here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's electrical services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines. Everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless, LSU.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Andrew Greenstein. The latest nationwide survey finds that optimism continues to rise among small businesses, but challenges persist. NFIB State Director Leah Long says for the month of July, the top reported issue was labor quality or availability.
I think in the latest report, it did show that 36% of small business owners had job openings they couldn't fill because labor quality is definitely an issue.
Long says it's a problem that the Landry administration, state lawmakers, K-12 and higher education leaders are trying to fix. An LCMC health doctor performs a groundbreaking lung cancer procedure. Dr. Wasim Abijaudeh of East Jefferson General Hospital performed the first single-port robotic lung cancer surgery in the Gulf South on a man from Metairie who is now cancer-free.
When we do robotic surgery for lung cancer, we usually use 4 or 5 incisions that go between the ribs. This technique uses only one incision.
Abijaudeh is currently the only surgeon in the region offering the single-port robotic lung cancer surgery. LRN.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan could miss the start of the regular season with a hamstring injury.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore confirmed the injury Jordan suffered during practice last week will keep him off the field in the coming weeks.
He'll continue to evaluate it. Obviously, he's going to miss a little bit of time, and we'll just continue to kind of take that every few days, and we'll see where it takes us.
The 37-year-old returned to New Orleans after testing free agency this offseason for one final season as a Saint. Moore could not give a timetable for his return.
It could possibly get into the season, but you never know. So, you know, these things, you just got to have some patience with it, let it take its course, and we'll collect more and more information as we go.
The Saints kick off the regular season in just over a month. Jordan has missed just one game due to injury in his 15-year career. I'm Case Kieschnick.
It's believed to be one of the largest methamphetamine busts in Louisiana history. Deputies with the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office pull over an 18-wheeler on eastbound I-12 in Denham Springs and found almost 800 pounds of meth in the trailer. Anton Rakov, a Russian national, was arrested and is now in ICE custody. LRN.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and Case Kieschnick. And joining us now, it's Reed Darcy of The Advocate. He's with us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Reed, how you doing today? Were you out at, I know you can't say anything about football practice, but were you out there tonight?
Yeah, I was out there. I can't say anything until 9 p.m.
So yeah, 9 p.m., right. So
I can give you all the details, but there really wasn't much for us. I don't think I have much for you.
We were talking to Glenn a minute ago, and we weren't addressing anything specifically that happened, but the drones did interfere with the reception when we broached the Ponderosa. Let's just be careful. Yeah. And we don't want to lose you.
No. Yeah. But great piece on Kayshon Booty, and it really is quite a story about this. I mean, really from the beginning. When you go back, and I say the beginning, from his days at Westgate High School, one of the top prospects as far as wide receivers go. The guy just, during the COVID year, just puts up huge video game-like numbers. And then in 2021, he gets hurt against Kentucky. Ed Orgeron loses his job. It just kind of, I guess Orgeron loses his job in 22, right?
Yeah,
right.
But he struggled with Kelly at first.
Yeah,
there was friction between
them. About practice habits and all that kind of stuff. And
so the thing is, Reed, when I read the story, it was a great story, by the way, and I would encourage anybody, I think it published on the 10th, so today's the 11th, so it was yesterday. To check it out, it was on theadvocate.com. I don't know if you need to be a subscriber or not. You'll have to inform on all that. But read the broad outlines of the Boutte gambling case that you write about. I knew about, and obviously everybody followed. But what struck me reading your story was the scale of it.
Yeah.
I mean, just put that scale in perspective for us. How much gambling activity did investigators find?
Yeah, they found a lot. You know, it was really all confined, according to what FanDuel reported to police, and what police later discovered was linked back to Kayshon was really all confined to, I think, about a year period, 11, 12, 13 months.
Yeah, April 22 to May 23rd.
Yeah.
$600,000 and 9,000 bets.
9,000 bets over 2 months or whatever?
Well, 13 months.
13 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. And overall, in total, he lost probably $80,000 to $90,000 total. If you add up to what he netted from that, it was pretty far in the negative. So he acknowledges now that he had a really serious problem, as those numbers, of course, demonstrate. And the crux of the story, it really started with all the Brandon Sorsby stuff that was really taking a whole lot of national attention this summer. And so we were trying to figure out ways to localize that story.
Yeah,
right.
What better way to do that than to check in with Kayshon Booty, since he kind of got caught up in a similar situation. You know, the two situations are not exactly alike, but they're both said that they both have gambling problems, gambling addictions, and they both bet on their team's games. In the case of Sorsby, he did not play in those games that he bet on. At least that's what he said publicly. But Kayshon Booty did. And he, the famous example is the Florida State game, Brian Kelly's first game in charge at LSU in the Superdome. He bet on himself to hit his overs and receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. At least that's what police discovered. And he ended up playing in that game, of course, and he only had two catches for 20 yards or something, so that bet didn't hit.
Yeah.
So that was an example of how he kind of got swept up in it and how bad it got for him. But as the short story illustrated, he's really come a long way since then.
And he, in a sense, though, he is lucky, because Sorsby, what really impacts him is he's still a college athlete, where when all this came out regarding Booty, he's already in the NFL. And granted, I guess the NFL could have, and we all know the NFL, that there's zero tolerance for this as well. There's been guys that have been suspended or even kicked out of the league and whatnot. But because he wasn't still in college, he was able to, he had a second lease on life. Is that the way you look at it too, Reed? Because the NFL was not going to punish him for what he did as a college football player.
Correct. He really benefited a lot from some fortuitous timing here, because if you look back at the timeline, LSU said that it was not alerted to any of his gambling activity until July of 2023. So that's 2 to 3 months after he was already drafted in the sixth round by the Patriots. So because he was not still a college football player, because he was not trying to play in the NCAA, then the NCAA kind of just had nothing to do with his case. It just it happened, and he was moving on to the NFL, so he wasn't eligible to play anyway. And the NFL, from their perspective, like, he didn't bet on NFL games. Yeah. He didn't violate any of the NFL's policy, so it really would have been up to the Patriots to decide if they wanted to keep him on. And they did, because he played well enough to make the roster that year. You know, six-round picks, not necessarily guaranteed to make the 53-man roster, but in that training camp, he really did, and that set the stage for the next couple of years of his career, where he's really carved out a pretty important role for the Patriots. You know, played in the Super Bowl, was one of their leading receivers last year, and now even though the Patriots traded for A.J. Brown in the offseason, he's still got a pretty big role on offense, and all reports out of training camp this year are saying that he's really playing well, and he really seems to have a pretty big role for one of the NFL's best teams. So he did benefit quite a bit from timing, of course, but once you get that second chance, I think you have to take advantage of that second chance.
I was going to say cash it in, but that probably
that's probably not the right term to use. But before we talk about how he has rehabilitated, which is the good side of the story, what did LSU learn from this, if anything? Were you able to pick up on any of that? Did they learn how that a player could gamble to that extravagant of a level and them not even know about it? Have they been able to put anything in place to prevent that from happening future-wise, moving forward or currently? Anything on that?
Not that I know of. I don't know if anything has changed on the LSU side of things, but I do know that LSU is beginning some form of partnership with the Louisiana Department of Health in terms of getting resources to the athletes, making sure they know exactly what the rules are and what they can and cannot do, and what is ethically okay and what maybe, you know, might be not legally okay.
Right.
So I think, and there's also just resources in general, just for, you know, when you look at it from a mental health standpoint, that's one thing the Louisiana Department of Health has really stressed, is that this is really a public health issue now. It's the same way as you would treat addiction to alcohol or drugs. You know, that gambling is that kind of way about it. And it's really tough to kick, because a lot of betting, you know, nowadays people just bet on their phones, and the phones are in themselves can be an addiction, right? So when you combine those two things, it can be pretty powerful. I think that's kind of what Kayshawn Booty fell into, and it's what a lot of young people nowadays can fall into if they're not careful.
Yeah, if I remember, he did all this too when he was under the age of 21, which obviously isn't the legal age to bet in Louisiana.
Well, if I'm set up a fake account.
But the other thing that has happened, I guess on a state level, there are no more college football prop bets for players. So there's no more of that. So I don't know if that helps the situation at all, but no longer could you bet on your own individual performance if you were a player. Hey, Reed, before we let you go, got to ask you about women's basketball. The schedule came out today. Interesting non-conference games coming up against North Carolina. UConn will be a fun game in Nashville, Tennessee. What do you think about the end of that regular season schedule, where you're going to be facing the likes of Oklahoma, Texas, obviously South Carolina, I think it's the 21st of February. Tennessee is in there. January looks like a breeze, and then February looks much, much tougher.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to get out of January with maybe one or maybe zero losses.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt's early on. Vanderbilt will be tough, but most, if not all, of the toughest matchups SEC-wise, they're all consigned to February. So it's going to be a really, really grueling month for LSU, and it's going to be especially going to make things even tougher since they've got to jump straight into the postseason after that. So that's going to be the period of time where we find out exactly what they're made of. But what I'm excited for this year is that we're going to have a much better idea of how good they are in December, you know, because they're actually challenging themselves a little bit out of conference in a way that they haven't really done the past couple of years under Kim Mulkey. So I'm looking forward to not having to deal with the discourse and the narrative around Kim Mulkey's non-conference.
Charlie Crean is not going to be able to come on Tiger Rag Radio Reed, and say that Kim Mulkey and LSU is an enigma.
Yeah, I'm doing. I did jumping jacks, you know, when I found out they'd be playing UConn and a couple teams.
Houston, is Houston any good?
Houston's not good. They're not a very good program. But still, overall, it's a much tougher slate. And obviously, the UConn matchup is probably going to be the toughest non-conference game that they've played since Mulkey's been at LSU, I would assume.
And then they play
the ACC Challenge. Who do they play for that?
North Carolina. And they got, is North Carolina State good? I feel like they're good. Like, right? Weren't they a Sweet 16 team or Elite 8 team or something a few years back? So
yes. They made the Final Four a couple of years ago.
That's what, okay.
Last year, I don't think they made it past the first weekend, but yeah, real solid program. Wes Morris, a good coach.
Well,
yeah.
Do you think that that she's, you know, built that roster to where she needs to make it back to the Elite Eight, Final Four, or further?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a very good roster. I don't know if it's better than last year's roster. It's tough to say right now, but they definitely have enough talent to be in that mix. I really think they did a good job, you know, reloading in the transfer portal. The biggest thing was pivoting quickly from Jada Richard to Jada Williams. That was huge. Jada Williams is going to be a really, really good fit for them, and having that extra ball handler, that extra scorer in the backcourt is going to really, really help them.
Was that an upgrade?
It's tough to say because they're two different players. They do different things. You know, Richard is probably a better scorer and outside shooter, while Williams is more of a facilitator and a much better distributor of the ball. So they bring different things to the table. But I think LSU will really benefit from having a point guard who is kind of like a pass first kind of player. You know, they haven't really had one of those in a while. And so that's going to open up things for Mikayla Williams, Mileage for Wiley, and the post as well. She's really good at throwing entry passes, as she showed last year when she was playing for Iowa State.
Well, didn't Angel Reese start in 2022? Couldn't she come back?
Well, if she wanted to file a lawsuit, I think she could make it happen.
for sure. So December 19th, 20th could be a fun weekend. You could have a college football playoff game involving LSU and women's basketball playing UConn. So we'll see if that actually transpires. We know LSU's playing UConn in women's hoops. Reed, we'll talk to you again. Great piece again on Kayshawn, and good luck with your practice report from tonight and you know, making that interesting.
Awesome. That sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks, there you Reed. Go. Reed Darcy from The Advocate. Good guy. We'll take a break, or unless you got something to add.
No, I just want to know what happened at football practice.
We'll have to wait till 9 o'clock, right? Is that it? Yeah, 9?
At least.
Or 8:45, something like that. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. More coming up here after this break.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. So,
sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions Now.
Call 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was the life for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
We're back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Formo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn. Glenn Gilbo may be in a holding cell at this point after trying to tell us what was going on at football practice. But
hey, don't get us in trouble, man.
No, I'm sure Glenn's okay. He's working on that article that will be published at 8:45 tonight. That will give you the recap of LSU football practice. Another storyline so far through LSU football practice. I mean, there was... This started actually in the spring when Bo Bordelon was taking reps with the starters on the offensive line at left guard, and people were saying, "Really? I mean, what about this Devin Harper kid? He was at Calvary Baptist. He was at Ole Miss. He played a handful of games with the Rebels last season. I thought he was supposed to be the guy at guard, but Bo Bordelon has stuck it out. And here he is with an opportunity, it looks like, to be a starter on that offensive line. And basically, Lane Kiffin says he has certainly deserved it.
He's earned it. You know, he's practiced really well in the spring, worked out really hard, and learned the playbook. It's all a new playbook, obviously, and done a really good job. And so you guys have probably heard me say before, people don't play here by how many stars they are or what their contract is or where they're from, what state they're from, or who their dad is. So that's not how we do it. He's earned it and done a really good job, and we're excited about that.
It is a pretty cool story, and there's a lot of speculation that he might actually be awarded the number 18 jersey. Now, of course, since he's an offensive lineman, he would not be able to wear the number 18 jersey, but he would have a patch. But he would certainly
would it
be
go next to the Woodside Energy patch.
Yeah, it could. Yes, exactly. But that is the kind of guy that you sometimes want representing number 18. Someone that has just stuck with it. He's a legacy player. His dad played at LSU and is a guy that's, it sounds like, really since his time, and this is his fifth year at LSU, since his time there, he's been someone that whatever you've asked him to do, he's done. He's put the work in, and now he's put himself in an opportunity to be a starter on this team.
And I also thought it was really interesting that Kiffin talked about it that way, the way he did, because he just wanted to lay it out there. You know, Bordelon's dad was not only a former player, he's also a very successful Louisiana businessman,
yep,
very involved with LSU, and in fact was on the search committee that hired Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
So, pretty transparent.
Yeah. All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Some call it overplanning. At Booger Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's Electrical Services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Funtenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines. Everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Surprise, surprise, Todd, or did you anticipate when the clock rang out, the buzzer went off Friday night, early Saturday morning, that the Protect College Sports Act did not pass the U.S. Senate?
I was not the least bit surprised because Case kept me updated on what was going on all day Friday. And he had pretty much told me that the clock was going to run out on it this time. I'm not sure that it's going to run out on it in September. Case, what do you think?
I think that Congress will try its hardest to make it as difficult as possible for it to get through, just as the nature of how the U.S. Senate is. And then when you add in the fact that once it does get through the Senate, it, of course, has to go to the House, where Majority Leader Steve Scalise has already been against the bill. Now, his position might have since changed, since LSU's position changed and the SEC's has and all the revisions they've made. But it's still certainly an uphill battle and one that's not going to happen until September.
And the Congressional Black Caucus is not for it.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising how late they came out against it, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just me, my weird take.
To be fair, that's because it didn't really become a real tangible issue until the SEC and Big Ten finally made up their minds and decided to support it in the final hour, and then it was finally kind of filed in those last few days.
Why did, for people not watching it on a minute-by-minute basis like you, Case, why did the SEC finally get behind the bill?
There were so many revisions that it's almost a different bill than the one that was originally written this summer. But the big things, of course, were that they redid the media rights pooling to where that's completely voluntary now, and SEC and Big Ten schools don't have to opt into that. They've added or changed provisions to league expansion and realignment to where all Power Four schools, if they want to change, will have to sit out a 5-year probationary period. And then the big thing at the end that was kind of the holdup was they added new language to close loopholes around NIL and third-party NIL deals and how schools might use that to work around caps, and they added another retention pool. And there's just so many changes that seem to all go the SEC and Big Ten and Notre Dame's way.
So I was about to say, so they basically said, well, just tell us what you want, SEC and Big Ten, and we'll make it the language work that way, and then it'll get approved, and then that's when the Black Caucus came in and said,
not going to happen.
Well, the Black Caucus, their argument was that Black athletes and coaches and people that this is going to disproportionately affect were not consulted enough, and their opinions were not reflected enough in the final copy of the bill.
So that cuts to the antitrust, really, if you really want to look at it.
Hmm. So we just continue with the Wild Wild West for who knows how long.
Well, at least through September.
I just don't see any. I think you got to wait till a new Congress gets in there, and you don't know what the makeup of the new Congress is going to look like. It's just, this was their chance, I think. And I don't foresee them, you know, they got the ball across the 50-yard line here. I don't think they can mount another drive going in this way.
Well, and the SECs and Big Ten are going to continue to complain about how that hasn't happened, and it still is the wild, wild west, when they have no one else to blame but themselves for why this didn't happen. You know, it's there were senators talking about how all anyone cared about was college sports, you know, while all of these other bills are being heard, and it was the Big Ten and SEC that they were waiting on.
Yeah.
The Super League?
As you see it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Case. We'll wrap up the show on it on that note. For Case Kieschnick, Todd Horn, Glenn Gilbo, we hope he's okay. Read his stuff at 8:45 tonight. I'm Jeff Plormel. For the latest in LSU sports, check out TigerRag.com. We'll talk with you again next week here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tiger Rag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.